This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, عن معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله عنه, and this is a hadith that is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, hadith sahih. معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله عنه, he narrates and he says that I was with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in one of the travels. He was with him in one of the travels. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعني he's with him, and معاذ ابن جبل رضي الله عنه, he asked النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم a question. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن النار. The hadith is famous. I'm just going to run through it and then the focus is at the end. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, the hadith is huge as well. يعني أنا, I'm going quick through it, but wallahi, each word deserves a lesson on its own. He said to him, Ya Rasulullah, inform me of an action that if I was to do, it admits me into the paradise and it keeps me far away from the fire. This is all our question. This is everyone's question. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is asking it on our behalf. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to him, before he answers him, he wanted to show him how huge the question was. So he said to him, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ. He turned around to him and he said, you asked a huge question. لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْ عَظِيمٍ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهِ. And what I'm about to tell you of an answer is easy upon the one who Allah Azza wa Jalla has made easy for him. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهِ. What are these things? تَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. That you worship Allah and you do not associate partners with Him. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. You establish the salat. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ. You give your zakat. وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَان. And you fast Ramadan. This is the month that we're fasting. وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ. And you perform the pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ قَالَ. النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, now he's asking Mu'adh a question. And notice, everything that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has been speaking about so far are worship, deeds that you and I do. He said to him, النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. Shall I not inform you of the doors of goodness? يعني if you want to seek goodness, what are the doors? How do you seek goodness? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, الصوم جنة. And in another narration, ألا أدلك على أبواب الجنة. Shall I not inform you of the doors of the paradise? Meaning these things that are about to be mentioned are doors of the paradise. If you are to hold on to one of them, بإذن الله, it's your guarantee to the paradise. He said to him, الصوم جنة. That the fasting is a shield. يعني it shields the person from his sins, it shields him from the anger of Allah, it's good for him, fasting. He said to him, وَالصَّدَقَةُ تُطْفِئُ الْخَطِيئَةُ كَمَا يُطْفِئُ الْمَاءُ النَّارُ. Another door of the paradise is الصَّدَقَةُ, the charity that you give. And he said to him that the charity you give, it extinguishes your sins, just like fire or water extinguishes fire, right? Yani as though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that sins, they have a burning sensation. They make someone uncomfortable, like someone's being put on a fire. Imagine someone's on a fire or in the heat. He can't wait until he gets into the air condition. And this is exactly what sins are. They've been described to as fire. They are coal. A person is sitting on coal. For a sadaqah, it turns it off. It cools you down. It turns off these sins. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so far he counted from the doors of goodness, fasting, and he counted as-sadaqah, and then he said, وَصَلَاتُ الرَّجُلِ فِي جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. And the prayer that a person prays in the middle of the night. ثُمَّ تَلَى قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. These are three things he mentioned. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ وَعَمُودُهُ وَذِرْوَةُ سِنَامِهِ. Shall I not inform you of the peak of the matter? Yani, what is the biggest matter in a person's life? Ra's al-amr, the peak of the matter. Wa amuduhu, and what's the pillar? The pillar. Wa dhirwatu sinamihi, and what is the peak? For then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after Mu'adh said yes, inform me, what are they? He said that the biggest matter of all is al-Islam, Islam itself. وَعَمُودُهُ, and the pillar of Islam is as-salat. يعني without salat, there is no Islam. And then he said, وَذِرْوَةُ سِنَامِهِ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and the peak of all worships is الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked, and this is towards the end of the hadith, he says to him, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِمَلَاكِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ, shall I not inform you of what governs all this? What is the foundation of all this? يعني أنا, my brothers and sisters in Islam, so far we just went through a hadith and you and I realized that all of it is about worship. Salat, fasting, hajj, and give a sadaqah, and al-Islam, salat, jihad, it's all worships. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is bringing his attention to a major and a serious question. He said, shall I not inform you of the foundation and what governs all this? Meaning, what controls all these deeds of yours? What is the one thing that would control them all and would dictate whether they're going to be accepted or not? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أخذ بلسانه. He did not say anything. He grabbed his tongue. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he grabbed his tongue. أخذ بلسانه وقال كف عليك هذا. And he said to him صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said كف عليك هذا, meaning restrain this, control this. يعني control it from words of shirk, from haram words, from backbiting, from cursing, from slandering, from speaking foul, filthy language. Control it. فمعاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه, he said, يا نبي الله وَإِنَّا لَمُؤَاخَذُونَ بِمَا نَتَكَلَّمُ بِهِ. So Mu'adh رضي الله عنه is surprised. And he said to him, really? Are we going to be held accountable and judged by that which we say? Intentionally, unintentionally, whatever we say, are we going to be judged by this? فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ, meaning, oh Mu'adh, may your mother lose you. Now, it doesn't mean literally a dua against him, may your mother lose you. But this used to be said back in the days when you wanted to bring attention, or you wanted to bring the attention of a topic to someone. You'd say to him, يعني, like in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was surprised that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu didn't understand how huge the tongue is. So he said to him, ثَكِلَتْكَ أُمُّكَ يَا مُعَاذ وَهَلْ يُكَبُّ النَّاسُ فِي النَّارِ عَلَى وُجُوهِهِمْ أَوْ عَلَى مَنَاخِرِهِمْ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, and how many people are thrown in Jahannam on their face, because that's where the tongue is, or on their nose because of what their tongue harvests, yani what their tongue utters and what it speaks. In other words, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam concludes the hadith by teaching him that this tongue of yours is going to govern every action you do. All this worship is good, but it's all unfortunately on the side if this is not controlled. And this is very true. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, in another hadith, he was once approached by certain companions, a few companions, and they said to him, يا رسول الله إن فلانة تذكر بكثرة صلاتها وصدقتها وصيامها. They came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and they said to him, يا رسول الله, there's a woman in the neighborhood. She is known for a lot of salat and a lot of fasting and a lot of sadaqah. يعني her worship, mashallah, 100%. غير أنها تؤذي جيرانها بلسانها. But she's got one thing. She harms her neighbor with her tongue. Not with her hands, let alone يعني with her, just with her tongue. Maybe she curses them. She says something bad that hurts them. تؤذي جيرانها بلسانها. For they're asking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what's the go with this lady? What's the judgment on this lady? For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, هي في النار. She's in the fire. Well, she had worship. What was the problem? The problem was her tongue. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about another woman. إِنَّ فُلَانَ, he said, فَإِنَّ فُلَانَ يُذْكَرُ مِنْ قِلَّةِ صِيَامِهَا وَصَدَقَتِهَا وَصَلَاتِهَا. They came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, there's another woman in the neighborhood. she is not known for a lot of salat, for a lot of fasting, for a lot of sadaqah. She's not known. Actually, they even mentioned what she gives of a sadaqah. She gives like a dry yogurt, something small of dry yogurt she gives it fi sabilillah. She's not known for any massive worship, yani obligations, and that's it. غَيْرَ أَنَّهَا لَا تُؤْذِي جِيرَانَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا. But she doesn't harm her neighbor with her tongue. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon giving the ruling on this woman, he said, هي في الجنة. She's in the paradise. خلاص, it's good. She understood how important it is to control and to restrain this tongue. So even though she didn't have a lot of worship, she was into the paradise. And why am I sharing this hadith with you? What's its relevance? Because now in these 10 days and in Ramadan, what do people do? The worship increases. You will never worship Allah Azza wa Jal like you worship Allah in Ramadan. No, that is something that is required from you. In Ramadan is where the efforts are required. This is when you're fasting in the day, 30 days in a row. You know, people find this sometimes difficult, especially overseas in places where the weather is really hot and the days are really long. You really feel the fasting. But not only that, you're breaking your fast and you're rushing to the masjid to come to the front rows. And then one juz' salat. And then if you go back home, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you ability, you go and pray. And then dhikr. And then people want to give us sadaqah in every night of the last 10 nights or in every day of Ramadan. Sure, this is very good. This is excellent. But what's all this? And what's the use of it all if this is not controlled and this is not restrained? For the biggest change you're supposed to do in this Ramadan is learn that all of this worship you did during the last 30 days is on edge. It is governed by this. If you don't control this, you lost all this. And if you're able to control all this and you didn't do much, there's hope for you that inshallah you're from the people of the paradise. So if I tell you, my brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, as much as you underestimate words and your tongue, except that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a huge deal out of it. Understand how huge it is, the words you speak. Control your tongue. And one of the things that I wanted to discuss, and that is something that is apparent with people, and that is from the filthy and bad words people speak, I want to focus on one, and that is cursing and swearing. Cursing and swearing. This, if we wanted to speak about the filth of the tongue, there's many. Backbiting, there's slandering, there's gossiping, there's a million things. But I want to discuss with you in a few minutes cursing, swearing, the F word, the swearing in your own language, the swearing in the Arabic language, the la'an, when you say la'natullahi alayk, for example, wal'ayadhu billah, these words. These words in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, la'nu al-mu'mini ka qatlih. Cursing a Muslim is as though you have killed him. What does that mean? Yani, when you curse a Muslim, you didn't kill him. What does it mean, as though you killed him? Meaning in the sin, it is as though you killed him. What is the sin of killing a Muslim? That's the same sin you'll earn if you curse a Muslim. If you curse a Muslim. لَعْنُ الْمُسْلِمِ كَقَتْلِهِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, as in At-Tirmidhi, and this is hadith sahih, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبْغِضُ الْفَاحِشَ الْبَذِيءِ. Allah Azza wa Jal hates. يُبْغِضُ, Allah hates a person with two qualities. Al-fahish. Al-fahish is someone with bad manners. And from bad manners, more specifically, al-badi, bad mannered in his tongue. Yani Allah Azza wa Jal hates the one with bad manners, and more specifically, the one who has bad manners with him when it comes to his tongue. Foul, filthy, vulgar, shameless words that come out from his tongue. Inna Allah yubghidhu al-fahish al-badi. Allah hates him. For what? Because he spoke words. He hurt his brother with words. He hurt his family with words. He cursed his wife. He cursed his children at home. Allah appointed him as a person responsible to look after his family. What is he doing? He's cursing. He's cursing his wife. The wife is cursing the husband. The children are learning this from their parents, and then they're cursing each other. And then you die, and then they live long after, and they learn the cursing from you, and you're in your grave earning sayyat, because that's what you taught them. You taught them how to curse well. Hadha al-Muslim, how do we curse each other? How does that happen? Look, when we meet each other, the obligation is that we give salam to each other. You say, As-salamu alaykum, meaning, oh Allah, may Allah's peace descend upon you. Then after that, you curse him. How does it make sense? In As-salat, when we pray 5 times a day, you know, As-salat is a relationship between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. But it's also a relationship between ourselves. You know, there's somewhere in As-salat where we make dua for each other. That's at the end of As-salat, بالتحيات. We say, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. Every salat you're praying, you're saying, oh Allah, bestow and descend your peace upon us and upon the righteous slaves of yours. And then after the salah, you want to curse your Muslim brother. How? What the, did you learn anything from your salah? It looks like you didn't learn anything if you continue to curse. Your salat is supposed to teach you, and these words, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin, is supposed to teach you that the relationship between you and your brother is a peaceful relationship, a relationship full of peace. And in Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa', in the morning supplication and the afternoon supplication, there is a supplication we make for each other as well. Not only for us, there's one we make for each other. And that is when we say, al-dhikr, when we say, وَأَنْ أَقْتَرِفَ عَلَى نَفْسِي سُوءًا أَوْ أَجُرَّهُ إِلَى مُسْلِمٍ. You ask Allah to protect you from bringing harm upon yourself. Oh Allah, protect me from bringing harm upon myself. وَأَنْ أَجُرَّهُ إِلَى مُسْلِمٍ. And protect me from dragging this harm and bringing it onto my Muslim brother and sister. You're making this dhikr in the morning and in the afternoon, and then you're cursing your Muslim brother in the afternoon. How does that work? Then you didn't understand what Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masa' was. You didn't understand the concept of As-Salam. You didn't understand what you were saying in your Tahiyyat. Enough, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Restrain and control your tongue. Allah Azza wa Jal, He's the one who created this tongue for you, and He told you what to do with it. Use it for dhikrullah. Spread As-Salam with it. Read Al-Quran with it. How on the same tongue you curse and you read Quran? How does it work? Then we need to understand cursing is something huge. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to us, just listen into how huge this matter is. He says, this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in he says, لا يكون اللعانون شهداء ولا شفعاء يوم القيامة اللعانون. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, those who continuously curse people, curse things, you know, your phone's not responding, you curse it. Your car is not turning on, you curse it. Something at home, your child broke something, you curse it. Something's not working the way you curse it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, those who continuously curse, cursing is on their tongue, they cannot be shufa'a and shuhada on the day of judgment. They will not be reaching the ranks of ash-shuhada. No possibility for them. And on top of that, wala shufa'a. You know, shufa'a, the those who intercede. Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives permission to people on the day of judgment to make an intercession. You see a family member of yours in Jahannam, wal-iyadhu billah, and he's a Muslim but he had many sins. As a believer, if you are right and correct with Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah gave you permission, He allows you to make shafa'a for that place, a person of yours. So He allows you to go into Jahannam and bring him out. But Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is saying those who curse won't have this opportunity. You will not have the opportunity to be an intercessor for someone you love to bring out of the hellfire. That's gone, finished. وَلَا شُفَعَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. We need to understand, my brothers in Islam, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was on a journey. He was on a travel. And there was a woman with them on the travel, and people were on their camels traveling. So one of the women on her camel, her camel was slow. It wasn't working as quick as the other camels. So she cursed it. She cursed her camel. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم heard her curse. And he said to her, get off the camel, take your stuff off the camel, and لا تصحبنا ناقة ملعونة. This camel that you just cursed cannot accompany us on this journey. Get rid of it. We don't want it anymore. It's cursed. Why? Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he explains. In a hadith, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he says, because when someone curses someone or curses something, the curse, it goes up to the heavens, because the curse is a dua. You've asked, may Allah not have mercy upon you. That's what the curse is. When you curse someone, whether it's the F word in English, because that's the equivalent, whether it's in your own language, whether it's in Arabic, whatever it is, the curse means may Allah not bestow His mercy upon you. The curse is a dua. It goes up to the heavens. Because it's a curse, the doors of the heavens are closed. It doesn't enter. So it comes back down to the earth. And the doors of the earth are closed. They reject it. Then Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he says, the curse goes left and right until it goes back to the person who made the curse. If the one who he cursed deserves the curse, it'll fall on him, or it'll fall on that thing. And if that thing or that person doesn't deserve the curse, you guessed it, it goes back to the person who cursed. No, you cursed yourself at the end of the day. Who wants to curse himself? Go ahead, keep cursing. Control this tongue of yours. And finally, I end and I share with you one hadith. What do you do? If you've cursed and you've cursed so many people, what do you do? What's the solution? Can you make up for it or not? Listen to this hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once in Al-Madinah. And they grabbed the prisoner. There was a prisoner. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم took him to his house, to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. In another narration, it says the house of Hafsa radiallahu anha, who also is the wife of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He took this prisoner to the house of Aisha radiallahu anha, let's say on that opinion. And he tied him in the house. And he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, look out for this prisoner, make sure he does not escape. She said, all right. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. Wa Aisha radiallahu anha, her friends came over and they distracted her. For a few moments went by, this prisoner escaped. Soon after, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came home and he said to Aisha, he found that the prisoner is not there. He said to Aisha, Aina asiruki? Where's the prisoner that I told you to make sure, yani, keep an eye on him? For she said, Ya Rasulullah, I got distracted with some of the women and I forgot and he took off. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her, قَطَعَ اللَّهُ يَدَكْ. May Allah destroy your hands. This is considered a curse. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the house in search of this prisoner. He went for a while searching. Eventually he found the prisoner and they came back. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back to his home and he entered and he found Aisha radiallahu anha standing, تُقَلِّبُ يَدَيْهَا. She's turning her hands like this. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he's surprised. He doesn't know what she's doing. For he said to her, مَا لَكِ. What's wrong? Why are you doing this for? For she said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm waiting to see which one will fall off first. And he made a dua. He said, قَطَعَ اللَّهُ يَدَكْ. May Allah destroy your hand. Shuf, yani this, if anything, it teaches you how convinced as-sahaba were with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though there is nothing of tools around her that would cut the hands off, She's in the room. There's no kitchen knife. There's no cutting tools. But she's certain that since Rasulullah said it, it must be 100%. Something miraculous is going to happen. This is how they dealt with the words of Rasulullah. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma innama ana bashar. Oh Allah, I am just a man from among mankind. أَغْضَبُ كَمَا يَغْضَبُ الْبَشَرُ. I get angry, just like people get angry. Then he said, Allahumma, فَأَيَّمَا مُؤْمِنٍ سَبَبْتُهُ فَاجْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ لَهُ قُرْبَةً إِلَيْكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, oh Allah, any believer, in another narration, مُؤْمِنٍ أو مُؤْمِنَةِ, any believing man or believing woman, I have cursed, then make this curse a means in which you bring them closer to you on the day of judgment. And in another narration, اجعلها زكاةً وطهوراً له. Make my curse against him, make it a means in which you forgive his sins and you purify him from his sins. Then this is the dhikr or a dua you should say if you have cursed someone. That you say, Allahumma, أَيَّمَا مُؤْمِنٍ سَبَبْتُهُ فَاجْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ لَهُ قُرْبَةً عِنْدَكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. وَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, if that was a curse that you did to your wife, you rushed to make this dua. If it's a curse you made on your children, you rushed to make this dua. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لَا تَدْعُوا عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِكُمْ. Do not make a dua against your children. And cursing your children is a dua against them. Watch out. It will be accepted. And then when your child, Allahu A'lam, what happens to him later on, and then you start crying, and my child, 1, 2, 3, little did you know, it was your dua until you cursed him. Maybe that's why he's turned out like this. So rush, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to clean this slate between you and people that you have cursed by saying, Allahumma ayyama mu'minin sababtuh, faj'al thalik lahu qurbatan ilayka yawma al-qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate our ranks in the paradise. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to restrict and restrain our tongues and to control it. Innahu waliyu thalika wal qadiru alayhi. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.